was only a couple of months ago that I attended a funeral in Ireland. It was the funeral of my son-in-law's father. Now, at my age, I've been to a lot of funerals, but this was a bit different, and there were two things about me that struck it particularly. First of all, we were invited to Jack's home, Jack being the deceased person, on the day before the funeral, and we were told that he'd be lying in an open coffin. I've come across that tradition in West Indian culture, so I'm sort of alert to it. But what I wasn't alert to was that the first person I saw when I entered the house was Jack, looking very chipper in his Sunday best in his coffin. He was there to greet us. And people were milling around and bringing sandwiches and cakes. Sadly, there was no Guinness at this point. That came later. But there was tea. And it was just a steady stream of people from right across the town coming in throughout the day. And those from Ireland know about this tradition, I know. That was one thing that was odd, this sort of community coming into the house. And Jack being there with us. On the next day, we had a lovely funeral service. But then the other thing that was a bit different was that we all walked on foot behind the hearse to the cemetery. And that wasn't just round the corner. It was a 40-minute walk across the town. And as we went, other people from the town joined the procession and followed. All the traffic stopped. People took off their hats, bowed their heads. It was a real coming together, a real drawing together of all those people in Drogheda. And I thought about this when I started reading the passage that I'm going to speak about today from John 12. Jesus says, if you like to look at the passage, John 12, verse 32, "And when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself." And it's explained, this was talking about his death. And when he says, when I am lifted up from the earth, if you think about it, when he was nailed onto the cross, onto the crossbar, the cross would be flat, then he'd be lifted. There are other ways of thinking about what lifted means, but that was one thing. And it was talking about his death. I think it's very strange that he says that this appalling and humiliating time will be the time when he will draw all people to himself. Now, during his brief ministry on earth, Jesus had certainly drawn people to himself through his healing miracles, his example, his teaching. And many people regarded him as a prophet, maybe the Messiah that the Jews were waiting for. At the same time, some people hated him. He was a real thorn in the flesh to what we might call the judgmental elite. And we have met people like that ourselves, no doubt. So he'd gathered some people to himself. But it's strange that it was his death which really revealed his significance, his true identity. So that this somewhat quirky teacher, followed maybe by a few hundred, maybe even a few thousand people in a small Middle Eastern country, was then discovered to be the God for the whole of humanity, God in human form. And from that point of his death, his reputation has spread from the Middle East across the whole world, so that 2,000 years later, he is recognized by over 2 billion people across the globe. And I just kept thinking, isn't it strange that it was Jesus' death that marked the pinnacle of his life on earth? He himself says, "The time has come that the Son of Man," that is Jesus, "will be glorified." And then, even more strangely, as he agonizes over the fate that awaits him, he makes it clear that it was in order to die that he came to earth. And as Christians, we know that it's Jesus' death that is crucial to our faith. And as we enter this Passion Tide, we'll be focusing more and more on that. And it's his death that, in the view of Christians, is what the whole of Scripture from chapter 3 of Genesis is working towards. It's been leading up to this moment. The Son of God, come to earth in human form and living amongst us, will be the ultimate sacrificial lamb. Jesus shows us that all those gory animal sacrifices we read at some length about in Leviticus, if you're doing the Bible in a year, you'll have been wallowing through Leviticus, and it's pretty horrid. But all those animal sacrifices are not necessary anymore. He's taken the burden of our sin upon himself. And through his own death, and through his example and teaching, he shows us how to live in a new relationship with God, and indeed with the whole of creation. And then, of course, we know that the story moves on. And as we come to Easter, we discover that by Jesus' resurrection after death, his death wasn't an end. It was actually a beginning. It was a start of new beginning for the whole of creation. A centurion and some other soldiers who had been on duty to oversee the crucifixion realized immediately he died who he was, that something earth-shattering had happened. As he breathes his last, they shout out, "Surely he was the Son of God." And I think this is the first example of Jesus' death bringing people to him. These hard-bitten soldiers, not of the Jewish faith, suddenly realized who he was. And as I've said, it's that death and then the revelation of his resurrection that's brought people to him across the centuries. There's a bit at the beginning of the reading, I think it's verse 20. We suddenly find some random Greeks coming into the picture. Why were they there, I wonder? They start inquiring about Jesus. And it's in response to their question that he gives the answer, that what his death is all about. His prediction was for the Gentiles and for the Jews. And I think it's clear from other passages in the Bible how much he was trying to embrace the whole world. And there's some significant times when other Gentile people turn up. As we've spoken about, we have the Greeks coming and hearing this answer. We have the centurion at the cross. And you remember the Magi, people from other lands far from Israel, came to worship the baby Jesus. So we find as he dies, he draws people to him. Death is something that's really a taboo subject in our Western culture, isn't it, now? We don't talk about it. Except as Christians, we do talk about the death of Jesus. I sometimes feel maybe it would be healthy if we were prepared to acknowledge it as just a reality, as the people in Ireland did, and maybe talk about it a little bit more. And maybe even, I know with the best will in the world, people shelter their children from the subject of death. But my experience with my grandchildren at their grandpa's coffin was that this helped them to accept death as something not scary. There was grandpa. He was okay. He was at peace. So I think we said that Jesus' death is a positive, not a negative. And that maybe we should be a little bit more open about the whole subject of death. But obviously we're absolutely devastated when somebody we love dies. It's a very painful experience, particularly when that death is untimely, or for somebody who's not had much chance to do much in this life. But my experience has shown me that there sometimes can be some positives come from a death. We've already spoken about the coming together of community in Ireland, and I think about the way we've come together as a community when, as recently has happened, quite a few loved members of our communities have died, and we've come together in love and support and faith, not just from this church, but from other places across the country and even from abroad. An example from my own life recently is that my sister died 2 years ago in very tragic circumstances. She committed suicide by drowning herself. Now, for her son, you might have thought this would be the end of any grain of faith for her son. But in fact, since his mother's funeral, he who didn't go to church much, he wasn't a non-believer, but he wasn't a churchgoer, he and his wife have been in church every Sunday since she died, and they've become involved in the life of that church and its outreach. And I've come across other people who, because a funeral was taken very sensitively, have come to faith. When my own mother died in a car accident, which was again a horrific death, in which we were all there as part of the in the car. It was something about her death and then seeing her at peace that actually strengthened my faith rather than destroyed it. So those are some examples of positives coming through from a death. Then I think of the way some people have setting an amazing example by their death. asked Maisie if I could speak about Ivan, who died recently, who was so gracious in facing death and faced it with such courage and even, I think, with hope, Maisie, wasn't it? He faced it with optimism. He was a real example. Or Tiniola, whose funeral we're going to have at the end of this week. We're told she spent the last day of her life praying and reading the Bible. And as I said to the vicar, what a way to go. That's amazing. Jesus' death was a unique example. It changed the world. But even in the case of some ordinary mortals, death may bring some positive outcomes, as well as the horrible void they leave for us who love them. And of course, we cannot know when we're going to die. And we don't know how we're going to die. But I think John's account gives us something else we need to think about. Christ speaks about the grain of wheat that as it falls to the ground bears some seeds. It starts new life. We may not face the end of our life graciously or bravely, but maybe we need to think about the things we do with our lives. What legacy shall we leave behind? And I don't mean the money we're going to leave. I mean, what gifts, what values can we pass on to others? I was looking at Anne Turk as I spoke earlier, and her husband's end was not a good one. But he passed on to me and our previous vicar, Jan, a gift of watercolour painting, which he taught us. So many people can pass something on. I think of the Bishop of London who spoke recently about his own brother whose sort of life he had may not have been thought of as something that gave any gifts. He was severely disabled. He had severe learning difficulties. But Richard Charters said his brother had this huge gift for life. And it was that gift from this severely disabled young man who actually brought Richard into ministry. And we see what a wonderful ministry he's had. So some people, you know, just sow some gift. They give us some blessing so that their death isn't entirely negative. We as Christians need to remember that we should set an example of kindness and generosity, of peace and humility, of reaching out to the poor and the marginalized, being inclusive rather than exclusive. And hopefully in so doing, in our lives, make new disciples from those who do not have a faith. Can we live in a way that draws more people to Christ as he drew all, Jew, Gentile, criminal, and generous-hearted stranger to himself? And I hope you don't think that in trying to bring some positives out of death, I'm trivializing the agony that some people face. But even in the most tragic circumstances, we can find that something positive has come. Those who've borne a tragic loss may gain a fresh understanding, a greater empathy with other people. Sometimes people who've suffered a death, a tragic death, maybe of a child, do something to try and make sure nobody else has to suffer in the same way. Just think of the number of charities that have been founded because of a death. I'm thinking particularly of the Anthony Nolan bone marrow charity. When he died of a very rare cancer, his parents set up a charity to help research and to bring hope to others. When a little girl called Maya Baum died as a baby with a very rare disease, her parents set up a charity to help terminally ill children and their families. So, however sad death is, we can, with God's grace, bring some positives. And it takes me back also to a Bible passage which we'll come to in the liturgical season very soon. If we look at St. Stephen, he died a horrible death, did he not? But it was his death that was observed by a young man called Saul. And as Paul, that man became the greatest Christian evangelist. The death of Stephen was not in vain. Jesus' death was the ultimate example of an end being a beginning. But I hope I've managed to suggest to you that in much less dramatic ways, it is possible, with the help of the Holy Spirit and trusting in the saving grace of Christ, to find in other deaths some new beginnings. As we pray, we might just want to reflect on those we've lost and loved.